I'm bringing Hansel back.
Get your sexy on.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. And on the line with us, our friend Tim Hasselbeck, as he joins us every week. Tim, we were talking about to open the show the Titans trade of Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers for a 2025 seventh round draft pick. What were your thoughts on the trade? And we played a clip in the previous segment from Mina Kimes at ESPN, who you know well, talking about Malik Willis at the 2022 NFL Draft Combine, saying his ceiling is outer space. Now, it hasn't happened that way yet, but what do you see as the next chapter for Malik Willis as he leaves Tennessee and heads to Green Bay?
Yeah, I think he finds himself in a similar situation to the one that he was in Tennessee, to be honest. You know, in that there's somebody else that's the starter, and so he finds himself as a developmental prospect, but just with a new team. And sometimes it's good to have a fresh set of eyes, fresh set of coaches, and personnel department that want to see you develop. And so, you know, maybe that's helpful, but I think the scenario is similar. And the challenge ends up being going to go to Green Bay, and there's, you know, most likely not really an opportunity for him to kind of show what he can do to that coaching staff until next preseason. So, you know, I also think this, I think it was good by the Titans that they got something for him. I think he could have easily been in a situation where there was no compensation coming back and you just had to release him. So I think it's a good job of the Titans of getting value. And then I think, you know, from, you know, the other, you know, kind of side of it, of like who the Titans have, look, they obviously feel comfortable with Will Levis. I think they feel comfortable with the backup situation with Mason Rudolph. And, you know, they, you know, kind of, you know, probably found themselves in a situation of like, look, we're good with the guys that we have. What can we get in return? And I think Malik Willis kind of dictated it based on, you know, how he played. I guess I would say the lack of consistency with how he played.
Do you think the Titans should prioritize finding a third quarterback to take advantage of the emergency quarterback rules? Mm-hmm. Or do you believe, as you said, that at this moment, Levis and Rudolph is enough for this team?
Yeah, I think that I'm sure they will look around because, you know, there are some teams that are going to let quarterbacks go that, you know, they maybe have a grade on that, you know, is higher than maybe the team that's letting them go. So it won't surprise me to see somebody added to the roster, somebody added to the practice squad, or every week, you know, a list of four or five guys that are coming through the facility to work out. Like, that would be typical, and I could easily see that happening. And I think it just makes sense, you know, for that to happen. I mean, think about it from Green Bay's perspective, like on Malik Willis, like Sean Clifford, like, hasn't been a disappointment for them, but at the same time, they probably want to look around and say, all right, there's a guy who's got way better physical tools than Sean Clifford. The question is, can he be a better quarterback than him?
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to you on the game ball. I saw you got the game ball and the victory this weekend, Tim, you and the coaching staff. So I want to say congratulations to the Innsworth Tigers and you for your first victory.
Hey, I appreciate that. D-Mace, you had a lot of game balls. Where can I get that one painted up?
You know? Hey, listen, you know? They had them painted up for me before I got them.
Well,
so.
I'm saying, like, you had so many painted up. You had so many painted up. You can at least, like, find out.
You got a guy? You got to have a guy, right?
And we
got
to find a
guy. Paint-up guy.
Hold on, Tim. All that damn money over there, and you can't find a guy?
You know what? That's a great point.
A lot of tuition money coming in there.
Right? You know what? There's a student in art class right now that I'm going to go find. paint up the game ball. But I appreciate it. Honestly, that was really fun, and it was really cool. Appreciate I actually didn't – I don't know where my head was at. There was a lot going on. I did not expect the game ball, but was certainly happy to get one.
Well, congratulations to you and the coaching staff on your first victory together for the 2024 season. Now, What do you think? What did you think of the game this weekend? I looked at it and I told the guys this. I wasn't so much worried about, you know, the numbers that they put up as far as passing and running. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more so the operation of Will Levis. Did he take what the defense gave him? Was he methodically moving the ball down the field? Did he get guys in and out the huddle quickly? Did he read the hots when they were there? What did he do to help advance this team down the field? And from what I saw, he did a damn good job. He did the boring things, and he kept doing the boring things, and he didn't get tired of doing the boring things because that's what he's been preaching. What did you see out there?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think the way you just characterized it was great. Like, I remember having a coach one time was like, don't get bored, you know, doing this. You know what I mean? Just because it was something we worked on early on. Like, don't get bored. Like, if we're calling this play again, like, we maybe are doing it because we're good at it, and I know you can find a completion. Like, don't get bored, you know, if, you know, we keep sending you in with the same run check and you keep getting to the same run. And so I do think there is an element of that. Like, sometimes it's like, look, you don't – you know, we can make football super complicated, and, you know, we don't always need to do that. So I thought that was good. I would also say this, and I think this matters a lot. I thought the pass protection was good, you know. And, you know, we always hear people say, like, oh, hey, you know, a quarterback's best friend is a tight end, or a quarterback's best friend is a run game. And some of those things can be true. But, like most everybody that makes it to the level that we're talking about Will Levis being in, which is not just making it to the pros, but being a guy that an organization feels like they can build around as a starting quarterback. Most of the time, if you protect him, like, they're going to deliver. Like, that's just how it works. Usually where things start getting sideways is, you know, when a guy is under pressure and he's playing with people in his lap and that type of thing. I thought he did everything well that you outlined. And then I think on top of that, you also saw the guys up front do a good job protecting him.
Now, do you like the way Brian Callahan, excuse me, called? He called the plays. He mixed things up. Even though he went to the screen, I felt a little bit too much. I'm like, save some of that for the season. But he, but in my eyes, he did sort of mix up things as far as run pass, going deep, or taking an intermediate route. How did you see as far as – what did you think of his play calling?
Yeah, I think he's going to do an awesome job calling plays. And I think the fact – it's funny you say, you know, Bill Callahan. Like, I also think that, like, he's going to be able to rely and trust, you know, on his father in the run game and his experience. And in terms of saving stuff, you know, it's interesting because, look, they're not – I don't know. You and I have both been a part of teams. It was like, hey, this is really watered down and we're not going to get to certain things. Look, there's a long Rolodex of what they can get to offensively. And there's also because, you know, they're not just like mixing and matching stuff together in terms of designing what they want their playbook to look like. Like, what they are doing – is time-tested, tried and true, proven to work at this level. And there's always a response, you know, that you have in the toolbox offensively to what you're getting defensively. Like, it's already been run through the filter. Does that make sense? Like, I think that's the thing, like, that's different than, like, oh, hey, Cliff Kingsbury is the coach in Arizona. It's like, no, this is different. Like, and it's because – the experience of what these guys are doing, and not to say they don't have their own personal wrinkles on the stuff, but like what you are getting is the run game that had been run through the filter of offensive line coaches like Alex Gibbs or head coaches like Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan and like that type of stuff. Like, that's what this is. And I think that's why it looks the way that it looks.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us from ESPN. We're talking football with him. So, Tim, I just think about how all this could play out. You've got the Packers, who are a pretty high-profile team in general every year because of their sort of national following, their uniqueness. And you've got Malik Willis, who could be in a big primetime game with a team that has high expectations playing in big games, but it just shows you where the Packers were with their backup situation as compared to Mason Rudolph. So I guess my question for you is, where do you see Rudolph in the tiers of backup quarterbacks? Because clearly the Titans like Rudolph, and they think he's – it was really never a debate between him and Willis.
I think he's one of the best backups in the league. I think I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago. I really think he is. I think he's a fringe starter. Maybe even, depending on where you went, a starting quarterback. Like, I think we'll see some quarterback play this year that I would sit there and say, like, I think Mason Rudolph would play better. Look, I'll give you an example. I think he'd be better for the Giants as their starting quarterback than Daniel Jones.
Really? You would take him over Jones?
I would. And, listen, I think it's one of the reasons why the Giants, signed Drew Lock, because they probably looked at Drew Lock as one of the guys that was probably like Mason Rudolph, fringe starter, maybe play better at times than the guy that they have as their starter. And you might need to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the Titans – have Mason Rudolph on a better deal than the Giants have on Drew Lock. I believe both of them are on one-year deals, and I think that Mason Rudolph is less expensive. So I think he's one of the best backups in the league. I think they're getting him for a very, very, very fair price. And I think probably part of it was, and now, listen, I don't know the history. I don't know, Mason's agent or anything like that. But probably part of it is, hey, look, you can be a snap away in Tennessee, with, a young unproven quarterback, for this price, or you could go somewhere else where the path to getting back on the field, maybe isn't as good. I think Mason Rudolph has gotten a bit of a unfair shake because of how things started. Played super early on not a great team. Myles Garrett incident. They draft a quarterback. You kind of get pushed aside when maybe you shouldn't have been. I think he's a good football player, deserves to be playing at this level.
Last thing for you, the Athletic always has, I think, a really compelling group of tiers. They get, and Mike Sando does it, and Mike was on our morning show today. He gets all kinds of perspectives around the league, and he has a tier system. They have Will Levis in tier 4, which I don't think stuns everybody. The votes are pretty mixed, about half, almost half and half. A few more in tier 4 than tier 3. But the one quote that jumped out to me is an unnamed executive or whatever said, I see him as potentially tier 3, but that's about it. I think the Titans fans would like to think that he could get up into tier 2, but what do you see as his ceiling?
Yeah, I think because of his physical ability that, I don't think because of his physical ability you could ever put, a ceiling on him, a physical ceiling on him. And I get it that, Mike Sando's certainly not going to write an article where, he's putting him into the Patrick Mahomes realm, especially getting feedback from other people. But, I think because he's so physically gifted and then being in the right system, yeah, I think, and I don't know, I didn't read Sando's piece this year, but who are some of the guys in tier 2 that we're talking about? Right?
It was tough to get into tier 1. This year, they only had Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen in tier 1.
Yeah, so fine.
One.
So put those guys in. And then that next tier, who are we talking about?
We're talking Lamar Jackson, who I think should be tier 1. It's borderline.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love. It's a big tier two.
Look, it is a big tier two. We start talking about, Dak Prescott, what Jordan or Justin Herbert has achieved, where Jared Goff is. And I think all those guys are great players. But, I don't think I would ever put an environment at this point to say, because here's the thing. He's already more physically talented than probably half of the guys in that tier two group. The outlier in that tier two group is, the physical limitations that somebody like Brock Purdy has. So to me, when I if you're a Titans fan, you should be man, we hope he can be a tier two quarterback for sure. For sure. And I think that it's fair to have the optimism of that. The thing that is going to, keep him, from getting into that, conversation of quarterback really just ends up being the consistency and the decision making. Because physically, you know, he's so talented that, I mean, you think about, like, he's more talented than Dak Prescott. He's more talented than Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy. He just is, or Jared Goff. He is. And so, you know, it really comes down to the consistency and the decision-making, managing the operation, all of that, that, you know, would be what tells his story.
Tim Hasselbeck, thank you for joining us as always.
You got it. See you guys. Have a great week.
Good stuff, Tim.
Yep, you too.
Tim Hasselbeck with us.
We're going to get that paint guy. We're going to find that paint guy for the game balls.
I liked his idea of going to the art department. I mean,
yeah. You get it for cheap, man. Yeah. So.
We're still waiting on our popsicles. I mean, come on, man. Where to be a paint guy?
Yeah. Come on.
What is this about popsicles? Did they miss something about popsicles?
Yeah, Tim promises popsicles.
Oh. Well, come on, Tim. Hold up your end of the bargain.
The popsicles, so.
I'll go paint a football for free.
All that damn money up at that school and they can't find somebody to paint his ball. Come on, nah.
We do have an interesting quarterback release in the NFL, according to Ian Rappaport.
Well, let's talk about that in the next segment. Who are the guys that would be out there?
We will mention a new one to the list as reported just now, and we'll react to what else Tim had to say. Coming up next, Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.